Good evening and welcome to The Big Fight, a show that is young at 21, the oldest running debate show on Indian television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. The Rajasthan saga, which has been on for many weeks now, is a cycle of contests. Wonder how? Let us explain with the help of this diagram on your screen. So there's an Ashok Gehlot versus Sachin Pilot. Then Sachin Pilot versus Speaker C.P. Joshi. Then Speaker C.P. Joshi versus court cases. Court cases versus Governor. And then Governor versus Ashok Gehlot. This entire cycle is going on and on and on for a very long time. But in the middle of this cycle, there is that real contest which is going on, which I guess nobody is even talking about. Perhaps people don't care. Politics versus people. That is the tragedy of Rajasthan as of this moment. Why does this happen over and over again? Is there no set protocol? Why do we, in the middle of every political pandemic for power, always grapple or struggle to find the constitutional right, the constitutional validity? Many questions that remain unsettled, yet unanswered. With each new crisis, a speaker, is he the absolute constitutional authority on the conduct of MLAs? Next question, can courts intervene in the function of the speaker? Do dissenting MLAs stand to be disqualified? What's the correct procedure for disqualification? Who establishes whether anti-party activities were done by dissenting legislators? Now the role of the governor. Should a governor allegedly procrastinate in a government's demand to hold a floor test and an assembly session? I can go on and on with this. So I guess the best way to settle this is through a proper debate, and that's exactly what we're going to do on The Big Fight. So tonight on this show, the big constitutional debate, judiciary and legislature debate, politics versus people debate. And later on the show, the top legal mind and the counsel of Sachin Pilot, he speaks to NDTV on the legality, constitutional authority, and also allegations on him acting on the BJP's behest. Mukul Rohtagi will be on the show a little later. So let's begin this judiciary and legislative debate. Let me now first welcome my guest this evening. I have Rajat Sethi, who's a political analyst, also an economist. We have Dr. Manoj Rajoria. He's a BJP MP from the Lok Sabha. I have Ashutosh, a columnist as well as author. Thank you so much, Ashutosh. Your opinion is interesting. Jaiveer Shergill from the Congress Party is also with us. Welcome, Jaiveer, on The Big Fight. Sudhin Bhadauria, leader of the BSP, will be with us in just a short moment. Rakesh Dwivedi, lawyer, is going to be with us. And Sudhin the Kulkarni, also a columnist, will be with us. Thank you so much. So the format of the show is first punch, where all of you all get 1 minute of opening time for your comments. Jaiveer Shergill, let's begin with you. Your 1 minute begins now.
Sanket, I'm going to begin with a question. That Bhajpa ke dile nadaan, tu itna dara kyu hai? Satr na bulane ki wajah kya hai? BJP's hospitality, the investigating agency misuse strategy, the governor's ignorance, or rather ignoring the constitutional morality, proves that it is no longer a match between Mr. Gehlot and Mr. Pilot. It is a match between Congress versus BJP. And we sincerely hope that the governor does not play the role of a 12th man and pad up to bat up for Team BJP. Number two, BJP's desperation so that the Operation Lotus blooms in the desert of Rajasthan is writ large. And it is also contradictory and irony. Whenever it is BJP's demand to call for a legislative assembly session, the lawns of Raj Bhavan become Garden of Roses. But whenever the Congress demands for a legislature session, they become desert full of cactus. Why these double standards? Why this irony? The government needs to answer. Number four, okay. The entire episode, last comment, okay, has shown the divide.
Time out, Jaiveer. You'll get your time for a number four also in just a short moment. 1 minute of opening comments. I have Mr. Sudhin Bhadauria, leader of the BSP, also with me. Thank you so much, Mr. Bhadauria, for joining us. Rajat Sethi, your 1 minute begins now.
I think the most vital question today in front of us, Sanket, is that what is the these MLAs who are camping inside the hotels for the past 2 weeks as we know it. Why is the public, the poor public of Rajasthan, suffering? At a time when you really need the support of the local representative, those representatives are busy enjoying movies, old movies, and having and biding out time. This is the biggest travesty. And I believe that the moot question that everybody, including the courts, should keep in mind is that they should completely evict, ask these MLAs to go back to their constituencies and address the needs of the public for which they have been elected in the first place. Regarding Congress taking a moral high ground, we have just seen that in just past 1 month, they have tried toppling governments in the Northeast also. So it's not about BJP or Congress. I think both the parties, whenever they see a political opportunity, they will pounce on it. I think what needs to be kept in mind is that the public, which is suffering right now, injustice has to be done.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you. Thank you so much for your opening comment. Ashutosh, and then Mr. Sudhindra Bhadauria. Ashutosh.
I think what is happening in Rajasthan is a part of the whole series started since 2014. And it's a slow death of Indian democracy. Why I'm saying so? Because the government which has been elected by the people and where the will of the people is expressed and where a cabinet is formed, after some time you see a few MLAs are defecting and going to somewhere else and betraying the mandate which they have got. And this has happened almost starting from Arunachal Pradesh, then Uttarakhand, then Karnataka, Goa, and Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, and now it has come to the Rajasthan. So it is very ironical. Secondly, the role of the governor has become very, 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 very interesting. The governors, they have stopped working as a constitutional head, but they're working as an agent of the state. So the role of the governor is also very, very important. And thirdly, what is more important is how the Indian democracy and the balance in the Indian democracy will function if a government at the center is hell-bent to kill the space which is occupied by the opposition.
Okay.
So then how the balance will be
okay,
there?
Okay, how will the balance
without
be established?
Opposition, there is yes. no parliamentary democracy.
Yes, Ashutosh, I'm going to come back to you. Thank you so much for your opening comments. Sudhin Bhadauria, your 1 minute begins now, sir.
Well, let me say this, that the institutions are important and you can't have double standards. When the Congress is in power in the center and when their governments are there, then one set of rules. And when they are in the opposition, in the center, and maybe in power in some states, another set of rules. See, they were responsible for engineering defections from the Bahujan Samaj Party. Lock, stock and barrel, they took away our MLAs this time. And even in the past times, they have done that. So that is nothing new. As far as the governor's role is concerned, let me say that on this issue, they have themselves sown these thorny plants. If you recall, when Sampurnanand was the chief governor in Rajasthan during the heydays of Congress, he got a minority government sworn in Rajasthan. So it is the Congress party also responsible.
Okay, Congress party is also responsible, says Mr. Sudhin Bhadauria. Thank you so much. As we invite more guests, they are in the process of joining us. Let me throw open the big fight. Jaivi Shergill, you heard what Sudhin Bhadauria had to say. You're complaining because you are hurt this time around, but you never complained when you were the perpetrator.
No, see, Mr. Bhadauria, I respect. And I want to... I have sat on the debates when Uttaranchal happened, Arunachal happened, Karnataka happened, late night swearing in Maharashtra happened, and the BSP spokesperson has sung a different tune standing with the Congress. Par jaise tum bewafa to na the, par kuch to tumhari bhi majbooriyan hain. So I say that, whatever the political compulsions you have. Number two, today look at the irony. I always say when it comes for the BJP and the apparatus, when it comes to attacking the opposition, denying them their constitutional right, they become Sunny Deol from picture Gadar. But when it comes to their own accountability and answerability, they become Amir Khan from Gajini. Forget the history. Today, from March onwards, look at the COVID situation. Today, there is a Rajasthan government demanding a legislative session to take important decisions regarding corona crisis. Now, I'm going to flash certain pictures. On 70, this picture, I think it's hopefully it's visible on your show.
What picture is this?
Yeah, it is from the swearing-in ceremony of Mr. Shivraj Chauhan, when apparently on 11th March, COVID was declared as a pandemic, an assembly session was called, a flow test happened, led to a swearing-in ceremony.
The point being?
What happened? One second. The point being, I'm coming to the point. Let's finish this picture series. Second picture, bang in the COVID pandemic. Today, there is a cabinet Madhya Pradesh expansion which happens. Still, that is allowed. The Honorable Prime Minister said, Ek Desh, Ek Vidhan, Ek Samvidhan. When it comes to opposition, Ek Desh, Do Vidhan, Do Samvidhan. Today, on what ground is the governor denying my constitutional right to hold the Legislative Assembly? He is bound under Article 174 and Article 163.
No, but he's
bound
not by denied. The advice of the... Javir, I have not heard the governor, even one statement from the governor where he says that I deny. There is no denial.
Listen.
He wants time to study all the aspects because he says the matter is in the Supreme Court, the matter is in the courts.
I am sorry. If the doors of the governor can open past midnight for a sheepish and done a swearing-in ceremony, if a Madhya Pradesh Assembly session can be called, today this test match is going on since last Sunday. The nation is battling with corona. Today we want that to happen. I have flipped the question. Give me 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I have flipped the question. The BJP, let's say we are the devils. What objection does the BJP have? They don't want to deliberate on corona? Number two, are they scared that after the assembly comes into play, their Operation Lotus will be in tatters? What is their objection?
Okay, what is the objection? Rajat Sethi wanted to come in. Sudhin Kulkarni is also now with us. I'll come to you, Mr. Kulkarni, in just a short moment. But first, a right to reply to Rajat Sethi. Rajat.
Getting moral science lessons from Congress party of all, it sounds like pretty hollow. I'll just give a few statistics in terms of what the previous prime ministers of the Congress regime have been doing with democratically elected regimes. Jawaharlal Nehru imposed president rule 8 times. Indira Gandhi had done it 50 times. Narasimha Rao did it for 11 times. And Manmohan Singh, he too, in his tenure of 10 years, did a president rule for around 12 times. There has been 6 years of Prime Minister Narendra Modi's government at the center. Has he ever, till date, even considered imposing president rule and subverting the basic representative democracy that is there in the states? No. Now, you see, the crisis in Rajasthan is very clear. The speaker basically exceeded his constitutional responsibilities and the authority that he had. He passed on a judgment when the 10th schedule wasn't even applicable in the first place. He gave out a judgment on disqualification of certain MLAs. This is the whole constitutional machinery breakdown which the governor has to clearly look into, get legal advice.
Okay, and that is what is taking time.
To a conclusion.
Okay, that is what is taking time. Javir, I will come back to you. Let me just get in the comments from my other guests also. I've got Dr. Manoj Rajoria, BJP MP Lok Sabha from Dholpur in Rajasthan. Sudhin Kulkarni, I've already told you. Rakesh Dwivedi, the senior lawyer, is also with us. So we've got the full house right here. So, Dr. Rajoria, would you like to answer certain comments that were made by Jaiveer Shergill on the culpability of your party, on how you are subverting, on how you are damaging the constitution?
Sir, I think Congress is imposing all the weaknesses on the BJP, all their own weaknesses. The word used by my friend Javier, the culpability. What is the role of culpability? How you can say major role of the Mr. Ashok Gehlotji that he is unable to control their party, even his deputy CM, and violating all the rules and constitution. How they can pressurize the Speaker of the Vidhan Sabha Assembly that he issues the notice without any assembly session? This is the issue. Now, today, they went to Governor House and pressurized him with all the MLAs, and the scene created by the Chief Minister and their MLAs in the Governor House, this is absolutely pressure on the government. They are not they are crazy, not waiting for the time and decision of the governor. They are not waiting for the decision of the High Court. They are not waiting for the decision of the Supreme Court also. So violation and denying of all
so you're
the
saying
constitutional
that going to
body,
the governor's house was a drama, quick right to reply to Jaiveer Shergill?
Drama as well as the pressure politics.
Pressure politics, unnecessarily putting pressure on a constitutional figurehead.
President of the Congress, Mr. Dotasa, is saying that we will show stages at the Outland district headquarters.
Sure. Though I know what the Congress's retort is going to be, but Jaiveer Shergill, please be my guest.
I hope I am not interjected. I showed you the trailer of Gajini Part 1. And here I bring you Gajini Part 2. If going to the governor's house to protest peacefully is undemocratic, a pressure tactic, then BJP is the biggest gang of criminals and hypocrites. Gajini Part 2 comes here. The party which never showed the placard of Go Back Simon in Independent India showed the placard of Go Back Governor here in Karnataka. The date is here is 2011. And if I'm factually right, Mr. Venkaiah Naidu himself was in this. Go back, governor. Placard number 2. Sonia agent. Go back, governor. Arrest were made. Force was called. Now there are Pitaji, who's now in Margarshan Mandal. I couldn't get a better copy. In 97, Mr. L.K. Dwani, Uma Bharti, Murli Manohar Joshi, who are all in Margarshan Mandal, protesting outside the iron gate in the president's house. Rashtrapati Bhavan against Kalyan Singh dismissal. So let's not give me sermons. Point number 2. Now let's understand the chronology. You understand the phrase chronology, I'm sure the BJP guy does. Chronology was, BJP tried the money power, failed. Then they tried the agency muscle power, failed. Now they're trying the governor's power. But that will also fail because the Congress has the numbers, has the strength, has the will. Legally, politically, mathematically, Congress is unshakable and unbreakable.
My other guest as well, Rakesh Dwivedi, I will bring you in just a short moment, sir, because we have to understand the legal aspects and why is it that in state after state, we go searching for what is constitutionally right and what is not. Why are these issues not a done deal? Why do we always sense some form of a constitutional crisis? So I'm going to come to you in just a short moment. Sudhin Kulkarni and Ashutosh, one by one. You know, apart from this political battle that is going on, Mr. Kulkarni, accusing these constitutional heads, right, whether it is the position of speaker, the position of the governor, has now become fair play, I would say. It's acceptable. Now, it just depends on which dispensation do you represent, and then you are free to accuse the speaker slash governor, i.e. the point that Jaiveer Shergill was making, that when the BJP was in opposition, it was protesting against governors. It is still protesting against speakers who are constitutional heads.
Sanket, I speak neither on behalf of the BJP or the Congress.
Yes, we are
aware. But as someone who is committed to our constitution and concerned about the health of a democracy, I find it very worrisome what's going on in Rajasthan. Soon after what happened in Madhya Pradesh, this game of toppling Congress government using constitutional authorities is now gone so far that the sheer repetitiousness of this is nauseating. There are three features of what's happened in Rajasthan that are downright condemnable. The first is this new game that's going on. It's a post-poll rigging. You know, in the past we heard of pre-poll rigging at the polling booths. Now, irrespective of which party gains majority, the ruling party at the center is saying that the government will be ours sooner or later. This is what happened in Karnataka, in Madhya Pradesh, and now it's happening in Rajasthan. The second is misuse of the office of governor. Of course, one of the panelists very rightly pointed out that during the long years of Congress rule at the center, repeatedly The governor's office was misused and governor's rule imposed dozens of times. But now it's happening in a different way. Not by imposing governor's rule, but
That's exactly the point that we're making, Mr. Kulkarni. All the points that you seem to mention, it just depends on which side of the political divide you are. Ashutosh, as well as Mr. Dwivedi.
That doesn't mean what's happening in Rajasthan is justifiable.
Okay.
You see, this whole game began with one of the members of the Congress, who happened to be the deputy chief minister, claiming that his own party's government has become a minority government.
True.
He revolted against his party. Now, he should have gone to the governor, asking the governor to convene the assembly so that the chief minister could...
But then what can be the game, Mr. Kulkarni? What can be the... He has not resigned. He says, I'm still part of my party. My party is not accepting me and I'm just a dissenting voice.
No,
what can be the game?
A dissenting voice. But whether the government commands majority or not, is left to the governor. So the simplest thing the governor should do as an impartial
call for an assembly session
is to call for the assembly session.
Okay. Rakesh Dwivedi and then Ashutosh. One by one. Yes. Rakesh Dwivedi, I want to come to you. Jaiveer, I'll come to you in just a moment. Rakesh Dwivedi, past precedents, what do they suggest? Could this issue have not been settled peacefully and quickly, swiftly?
No, you mean the issue of the MLAs who in Rajasthan?
Yes, sir.
So see, it can be settled easily only by the court now. Since the ball is in the court should proceed swiftly and decide the matter whether the notice issued by the speaker is within jurisdiction. And incidentally, that also raises the question whether the High Court has jurisdiction to intervene at this stage. Now, that's the more important question with respect to which the speaker had gone to the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court has refused to intervene at this stage and also seems to require the High Court to decide. On this aspect of High Court's jurisdiction, there is a misunderstanding of Kehoto Holohan's judgment. At one point, the judgment does say that High Court should interfere under Article 226 only once the Speaker's order has been passed.
Okay.
But at the same time, with the paragraph 7 of the 10 schedule had been struck down by the High Court, saying that no constitutional amendment can take away the powers under Article 226 and Article 32.
Okay.
The resultant is that the constitutional powers are fully intact in its full sway, but there is this direction in one of the paragraphs that High Court should interfere after the Speaker passes an order. In my understanding, the two paragraphs are completely inconsistent. Because once the power under 226 and 32 are in full sway and available, then going by a host of judgments of the Supreme Court, right from 1958 to this Patil's judgment relating to Karnataka in para 58, Supreme Court has said that if the Speaker's order is violative of natural justice or is without jurisdiction, then this provisions can be invoked.
Okay.
So therefore, once the power is available, then there can be no provision of the Constitution which will say that interim order should not be passed.
Interpretation. So, as simple as that. So the point that Mr. Dwivedi seems to suggest that this all boils down to the interpretation of the law. Ashutosh, we have seen this over and over again in many states. You know, while each state presents a unique situation, but it all boils down to the same issue. Numbers on the floor of the House, whether a government has a majority or not, or the manner in which the MLAs or MPs have shifted sides or behaved is always in question. Why do you think that there is always this unsettled legal debate, constitutional debate, each time?
See, there are many things which has to be understood and detailed. But since I'm not a constitutional expert, and so I will not get into that. There are two things which I want to raise. The point number one, here is a classic case where the Council of Ministers led by the Chief Minister has advised the Governor of Rajasthan that we want to have a session. And here the Governor is saying, no, 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 you can't have because there is a corona. Article 163.1 very clearly mentions that there will be Council of Ministers and the Governor is bound by the aid and advice of the Council of Ministers, except in certain areas as mentioned in the Constitution where he can use his discretion. In other states, you have seen where the Chief Minister and the Council of Ministers was quite scared to go to the House to prove their majority. But here, Governor is scared that if he allows the session to happen, then maybe they prove their majority on the floor of the House, which is denying a constitutional right, and it is a violation of the Constitution.
Okay.
The second point I want to make, let's go to the spirit of the Constitution. What is the spirit of the Constitution? Like you have seen High Court and Supreme Court. In my opinion, High Court and Supreme Court has no business to intervene into the rights of the Speaker, because the Speaker is not only Speaker. The Speaker represents the legislature. And Indian Constitution is based on separation of power between executive, legislature, and none of them is superior to others. So I can understand
even
the judiciary.
The point of
have a right to judicial
is...
review. But he cannot ask Speaker not to function and not to act.
Okay.
That is directly infringing into the rights of the legislature.
Dr. Rajoria, you've heard what Ashutosh had to say. He's basically saying that the Speaker's powers must be protected, and it's very, very clearly enshrined in the law. Everybody knows that this is the jurisdiction of the Speaker. Why is it that the BJP and surprisingly even the Sachin Pilot camp, and that's why we draw this parallel, that perhaps that camp and the BJP is speaking in the same voice, is saying that the Speaker does not have the jurisdiction here?
Ashutosh, again and again, I am hearing by Ashutosh and my friend Jaiveer Shergill that they are just dragging BJP again without any reason. First of all, I want to reply one thing of the Mr. Ashutosh. There is, we respect constitution bodies, we respect Speaker, we respect High Court, we respect Governor, we respect Chief Minister and their Minister of Councils. But who is violating all the rules? Again and again, the Chief Minister, Mr. Ashok Gehlot ji, lying before media and saying false statements. Three of them MLAs came today on the social media and spread the WhatsApp on the messages that we are here in Delhi without any pressure. We are here by own desire. Before few hours, Chief Minister Mr. Ashok Gehlot was saying that they were caged by BJP, they were caged by Haryana government, they were caged by Haryana police. So they are just opposite and contradictory things. Mr. Ashok Gehlot should reply them, and Mr. Jaiveer and Ashutosh saying the different thing. Who went in the court against Congress Deputy CM and their leaders only went in the court?
I think Dr. Rajoria, as of this moment, purely in terms of legality, it works for you to say that the BJP is not involved.
Sanket, please give me a minute. Sure. Please give me a minute. That please, BJP is not denying the constitutional power of the Speaker. Deputy CM and their supporters, they are going in the court, High Court, and they are denying or not denying. This is matter of the Congress only, not BJP. There is no role of BJP. Now Speaker went in the Supreme Court. So who went? Speaker selected. He was the worker. Earlier he was the worker and leader of the Congress. Now he is Speaker, constitutional body. But he is not respecting another constitutional body. There is not waiting for the order of the High Court, and he went in the Supreme Court again. So who is violating? Now today's scene, they are not respecting Governor also. They are not waiting for a day only. What is hurry? They are hurry because of they know that whatever the MLA they are showing, they can spread, they can go away because there is no control of the Congress on their MLAs and their party. This is the issue.
See, the point that their house is not in order is a settled debate. In fact, that is not a debate. The point is, why the delay? Why are we delaying the inevitable? Right? That was the main point of contention. You made your point, Dr. Rajoria, Jaiveer Shergill, and then Sudhin Bhadauria, and then Rajat Seth. Jaiveer, you've heard the comments.
Only.
A lot has been said as far as the Congress party is concerned. motives. I would also quickly like to read from the High Court what the High Court has said. A couple of questions that have been raised. It says, can the whip apply to actions? Some unanswered questions that the High Court talks about. Can the whip apply to actions of legislators outside the House? Does speaker's notice violate essence of democracy, throttling dissent against persons in power? And in this case, speaker's notice, does it not stifle democratic way of expressing change in leadership? How would you respond?
Sanket, I have three or four arrows in my quiver.
Sure.
Since the loss has been said. Firstly, the Bharatiya Janata Party saying that they have nothing to do with complaining about WhatsApp forwards is a classic case of devil quoting from the scriptures. Point number one. Point number two, the esteemed lawyers, seniors from the profession will tell you the proceedings pending either in the High Court or the Supreme Court do not prevent the holding of the Legislative Assembly session. Number three, the time will come whether three things will have to happen. Congress is confident of its numbers. Congress, in its letter to the governor, has not asked for a floor test. We have asked for a session to be held. We can take key decision. So either Mr. Pilot and his rebel MLAs, by action, will have to show that they have not voluntarily given up membership. Scenario two, BJP, which is banking on ICE. ICE means income tax, CBI, ED. So the BJP plus ICE Thagbandhan, which is working in the shadows, is not able to intimidate, threaten or muster up the numbers. That is why they're indulging in the time-buying exercise, which is happening. But Congress is confident that the Janbal will crush the Dhanbal and the Bahubal, which they are trying to use. Number four, the point BJP is saying, we are not involved. We are not involved. Let the Bharatiya Janata Party member parliament on your show say that what is his objection of not holding the assembly session. I showed you the picture. Now let me quote you a paragraph from their petition. No, last.
No, because we've raised a point.
What is
your objection, Dr. Rajoria?
No, my last point. Sir, my last point, then you can reply. Just give me 10 seconds. On the 20, when the Madhya Pradesh Assembly session was adjourned to 26th March, only for 10 days, Bharatiya Janata Party went to the Supreme Court and gave an affidavit saying if we ask the governor, he has to call the session. So let's not question why and when. Asking for a session is a constitutional right of the chief minister.
Okay.
We have asked it. The BJP has caught red-handed and BJP's plan Operation Lotus stands exposed. It is sheer frustration.
Dr. Rajoria, would you like to respond?
Yes, sir. Ankit, I want to reply one thing. There is, BJP is absolutely clear that they have no objection on any assembly session. This is matter of the constitution body between the Supreme Court, High Court, Speaker and the Honorable Governor only. So, Governor Governor is asking some taking time and asking time to take legal opinion because of the matter is also in the High Court and Supreme Court and between Speaker also. This is my one question. Sir, another
BJP
another
MP thing, says, Sanket, very quickly, Dr. Rajoria, I'm going to come back to you. He says the BJP has no problem with an assembly session. JV.
I hope he stands true to his word. Since morning, I have been three different debate shows and six different people from BJP have said six different things. Let him hunker down with Gulab Chand Kataria. Let him hunker down with Satish Punia, who says he wants Sachin Pilot as the chief minister.
Okay.
Let him also knock the door of Vasundhara Raje, who is not speaking at all. So let him your show be on record.
I'm talking about the session.
ऐसा तो नहीं कि सचिन पायलट के कंधे पर बंदूक रख के वसुंधरा राजे को निपटाने का षड्यंत्र चल रहा है और जो हम पुलिस
no, 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 no. बिल्कुल गलत एब्सोल्युटली रॉन्ग एब्सोल्युटली रॉन्ग एब्सोल्युटली रॉन्ग शी इज ऑनरेबल वसुंधरा राजे जी इज ऑनरेबल लीडर ऑफ राजस्थान एंड बीजेपी एज वेल So there is no Nishana. We are all the workers and she is very dedicated worker
no,
of the
why
BJP
isn't she speaking enough? I'm curious. One tweet in all these weeks, only one tweet.
BJP takes the collective decision and whenever she tweeted that I am the dedicated worker of the BJP
I am
watching all these things, whenever my party will call me, I will be there.
I'm going to leave political conspiracies right here because, you know, this is, again, not based in fact. This is J.V. Shergill's imagination. Of course, there might be many, many reasons why he believes this way. Sudhin Bhadauria as well as Rajat Sethi, very quickly. I'll come to you, J.V. Sudhin Bhadauria, a lot has been said about the BSP also moving court against the Congress party for the manner in which its MLAs were merged into the Congress. But see, I've spoken to the Congress enough, and they say that the BSP MLA shifted lock, stock and barrel. There is no illegality. Your response.
Well, you see, it is not only in Rajasthan. They have engineered defections of the Samajwadi Party also in Madhya Pradesh, where one MLA was there. So they have, they cry foul for democracy when they are out of power. But when they are in power, then they have different set of rules.
They become the perpetrators.
And I also say this, that if you want to create a level playing field in democracy, then only can democratic norms and institutions sustain. Till date, they have not disowned emergency. They have, Mrs. Gandhi has gone on record of having a committed judiciary rather than an independent judiciary. What is the Congress party talking about, that they are here to champion the cause of democracy and freedom? So we all know how much commitment they have for democracy. Let them secure their own party. As far as the matter is there in the Supreme Court, Honorable Supreme Court will decide.
Mr. Bhadauria is raising this question. Before you answer this question, Rajat Sethi has been quiet for a while. Rajat's intervention, please.
See, I've been waiting to respond to Ashutosh ji and his comment.
Please go ahead.
We all understand that there is this division of power between the legislature and the executive and the judiciary. But we also need to keep it in mind that whenever the decision, nobody is intervening into the decision-making process of the speaker. The speaker could have sat through that, deliberated over it, given time to these MLAs to come and appear before the speaker and make their standpoint clear. But speaker, in some haste, wanted to disqualify them. Now he has made that decision. And which is the core tenet of our constitution is judicial review. That is like the basic structure of our constitution. And everybody and everybody's decision, including the decision of the speaker, can be challenged in the court. Now, I suppose that before the governor, the biggest question right now is that if the Congress is hell-bent on doing a floor test and doing a confidence motion into the House, what is the status of these MLAs? Should these MLAs be allowed inside the assembly or not? Clearly, the speaker is taking a very partisan position. So when one constitutional body is not playing within its well-defined authority and rights, how can the governor, who is the sole, the protector of the constitution and its machinery in the state, ultimately the buck stops at him. He has to make that call, which is in line with the constitution and in line with the authority and the responsibility of every functionary.
Correct. But right now, the pressing need is that if a government is being seen to be in danger, then the only way to prove that they're not in danger is the floor of the House. And for that, a prerequisite is to hold an assembly session for which the governor has to give his acceptance. That should be expedited and not delayed. I think that's the criticism that is coming in for the governor. Very quickly, Ashutosh and then Mr. Dwivedi.
Yeah, I'm dreading to speak this. Suppose tomorrow judiciary has seized up a certain matter and wants in the process of deciding that matter. And suddenly the parliament intervenes and says, you can't do this because you stay. So what is happening? The speaker, that is legislature, is in the process of deciding something and judiciary has seized up the matter and said, you can't, wait. So should the vice versa happen? The judiciary is sitting on some judgment and parliament saying, you can't do this unless I decide. I think if that situation comes, then there will be mockery of Indian democracy.
It's
a very dangerous
question?
Situation which is emerging here. And speaker, well in his right, cannot follow the orders of the Supreme Court and the High Court. There has been precedence. The Nagaland speaker has refused to entertain the orders of the court.
Can you
long back, I remember correctly.
See, the speaker under our constitution is acting as a constitutional body under 10th schedule, and he is not part of the parliament that has been held so in Kehoto Holohan's case. Therefore, if a speaker goes berserk, and to say that High Court should hold its hand and not deliver dispense justice, should not intervene, is completely wrong. Speaker is subject to the judicial review. The only question is whether the notice issued is without jurisdiction or not.
Okay.
So far as governor's power is concerned, governor is certainly bound by the advice given by the chief minister.
Sure.
But yes, in the given circumstances, the governor can interact with the chief minister. He has to ascertain whether those MLAs who have dissented are entitled to vote, whether the BSP MLA's position, whatever is it is.
Sure.
He can take a day or two and then consult with the chief minister and fix a date. He has not refused it. So let's not hurry to give a verdict on the governor.
So
let's not hurry. He also
is the
holds
Congress
a very
party
high office.
Reading too much into the governor's delay or reported delay?
That.
He's
they
never said
it
no.
At least 100 times in the past, Sanket ji. So they have a habit. Whenever they see governor, they see a Congress
Let's
agent.
Not rush.
So that is their blind spot. You
okay, very quickly, Mr. Kulkarni. Closing comments. I'm running out of time. Yeah.
You see, 5 seconds, Sanket, I need.
Crores of people are watching what's happening in Rajasthan. And what concerns them most is that India is going through an unprecedented crisis.
I agree
it's
with you.
It's actually a twin crisis.
I agree with you. And at the very beginning.
And an economic crisis of the kind that India has not seen in the last 73 years.
The real battle right now is politics versus people.
If politics for power and, you know, played with money power,
politics is
you think
for
people
power.
Will have respect for this kind of democracy? The whole world is laughing at what's happening in
I have completely run out of time. I have completely run out of time. Ashutosh, Dr. Rajoria, Rajat Sethi, Mr. Badoria, Sudhind Kulkarni, Jaiveer Shergill, as well as Mr. Dwivedi, thank you so much for joining us on The Big Fight.